The passage from Luke this morning is a very challenging passage. Jesus says that he came to bring division. And I wonder how his followers heard this. Were they confused or surprised? Maybe they were willing to just roll with it. Or maybe they found themselves wondering, what division? What division? We know about division. In this day and age, division seems like one of the easiest things to talk about. We, they, us, them, Democrat, Republican, pro and pro, but different pros. We talk about divisions all the time. We snarl liberal left and radical right. Some divisions we speak under our breath or not, like racial division, gender and socioeconomic division, international divisions. We are very aware of divisions. It's almost as if we wear our divisions like a badge, like a jersey for the team that we're on. And I wonder if we've become too comfortable with division. Jesus, he was talking about divisions that would occur because of following him, because of having faith in him. So it seems that we better be mindful of any side we take. Is it a side we take because of our faith? If not, then why be on that side? And as we find ourselves standing along a divide, we better be standing in faith. And that faith better be what guides our thoughts, our words, our deeds. Because like Bette Midler said in one of her hit songs, God is watching us from a distance. Although maybe the prophet Jeremiah said it better in chapter 23. I am a God nearby, says the Lord, and not a God far off. Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth? God is watching us. God is with us. And thank God that this is true. Because the life of faith is not an easy life. It's full of blessing, full of purpose, full of grace and love, yes. But the life of faith is also challenging. We need help to live this life. So the writer of Hebrews has some very good news for us. Our second reading comes from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29, through chapter 12, verse 2. Hear the word of God. Our ears are open. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they'd been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, and put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So the city of Chicago has a scream club, and it is exactly what it sounds like. It's a club of people who come together to scream. It all started when a man named Manny Hernandez and his girlfriend, Elena Sobaleva, were having a really hard day together. One of those days when there were some life issues that were truly stressing them out, and they were a little bit at odds with each other. They happened to be walking near Lake Michigan when suddenly Manny just felt like going over and screaming into the lake. He told Elena what he was thinking, and she thought it was a great idea. Now, when they got to the shore, there were others who were just hanging out by the lake, enjoying the day. So as not to freak anybody out, Manny told them what they were about to do. And suddenly, there were six people standing at the edge of the water just screaming. It was such a release for all of them. There were some tears, and there was some laughter, and they all felt a little bit better after screaming. So Manny and Elena decided that they would start the Scream Club. And the result, every Sunday evening, members of the club show up at the North Avenue Beach in Chicago and make three cathartic screams all together into the lake. The club has grown to over 200 members. And there is great potential that this club will spread beyond Chicago. Now, this story was picked up just a few weeks ago by a variety of news outlets in Chicago and beyond. Fox News, NBC, CNN, even CBS out of Kansas City had the story. It showed up in People magazine, and you can find it online just searching Chicago Scream Club. This story had pretty broad appeal, because it seems we live in times that often make us want to scream. Of course, this isn't unique to our time. Life is challenging, and it always has been. We need look no further than the biblical witness to see that life is hard. From the fall of Adam and Eve in the third chapter of Genesis, two significant family conflicts in the human family tree and in Israel's lineage. There was slavery in Egypt, followed by desert wanderings, unfaithful kings, and the loss of the promised land. There was death on a cross and the sacrifice of Christian martyrs. Life was hard. And all of that was before cars and microwaves and Medicare and grocery stores and investment policies. But of course, even for us now, with all those creature comforts and supports, we still have sin. We still have family conflict. We still see people being oppressed. We still find those wandering in the hope of finding peace, acceptance, a better life. And of course, we have leaders. Some of us are leaders. Are our leaders faithful? And as leaders, are we faithful? This can be a really tricky question to answer. Life is hard, and it always has been. Living our faith is hard, and it always has been. But the good news for both of these statements is we are not alone. God is with us, and so are the faithful. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, one of the most classic images to describe this great cloud of witnesses is to imagine a stadium filled with people who are ready to cheer for their team. Now then, imagine all of us down on the field in the middle of that stadium. The crowd is there to cheer and encourage and spur us on to do the best that we can. And those in the stands, the cloud of witnesses, are not merely armchair quarterbacks. The cloud of witnesses are all those who have lived the life of faith, those who know how challenging it can be to be faithful, those who know it is possible to live in faith. We just can't do it alone. Now, there was a time that I was in the stadium, surrounded by spectators, and I truly wished to be there all alone. Actually, invisible would have been truly wonderful at that moment. I was in the eighth grade, and I was on our school's track team. I'd been running the mile all through middle school, but that year I had an injury, and that meant I missed most of the track season. But I finally got cleared to run again, and we only had one track meet left. But my coach went ahead and put me on the roster to run, and I figured it would be nice to finish my middle school years with one final race. As it turned out, we went to the regional track meet. That was the last one, the only one we had left. And when we got there, we were very surprised to realize that there were not very many competitors joining us that day. It turned out that the ACT had been scheduled for that same Saturday morning, so a number of our usual competitors that we would meet were taking the test rather than running. Now, this is important information. This matters because at the time, if you placed in the top two of any event at the regional meet, you qualified for the state track meet. So here I was, fresh off the bench for the whole season, running the mile, only one of three people. I'm pretty sure the other two little ladies that were running with me were not actual mile runners. And I managed to come in first. I did happen to get my personal best, 6:45, thank you very much. That was not a great time, but it was pretty good for not having run at all for the season. And so all of a sudden, I found myself qualified for the state track meet in 2 more weeks. So I trained for those 2 weeks, but really I wasn't putting a lot of stock in this track meet. It was just fun to have one more real race to run to end my esteemed middle school career as a miler. Now, thanks to that ACT test, we had several state qualifiers from our track team that year. So I wasn't at the state track meet alone. Oh, if only. So I went up and I got my number. I got my heat assignment and I showed up at the right place at the right time. And to my surprise, I was lined up just fourth from the center of the track. And the way they did it, the person with the fastest time in the heat would be on the center of the track, and everybody else would be lined up to the outside of the track based on ascending times. So I was a little surprised to be fourth, but there were several heats, and I figured this must be a slower heat. Until my neighbor, who was third from the center of the track, asked me what my fastest time was, and I said, 6:45, feeling a little proud. Her eyes showed some surprise. So I asked what her fastest time was. She said 5:43, and my stomach dropped as I realized that was more than a minute faster than I had run. So both of us turned to my neighbor on the right, fifth from the center, and asked her what her fastest time was. And she shared with us that it was 5:46, just 1 second shy of a whole minute faster than I had run. And I felt sick. And to their credit, these two young ladies were trying really hard not to laugh. Clearly, my coach had submitted my time incorrectly by 1 whole minute. So there I was, standing on the track, no time to change anything. I was on that line and we were about to start the race, and the news of my misplacement had made it all the way out to the outside of the track, and so they're leaning forward and trying not to lap and leaning forward. And I just said, please don't lap me. And they all took off like jackrabbits. And I just started running my pace. Now, as I ran, there were people all around the track. And people were there to be encouraging. And that is so kind of them. It wasn't something that I wanted to hear at the moment. They were saying things to me like, that's right, you just run your pace, young lady. You got this, girl. There's plenty of time to catch up. You never give up. You got this. I just kept running, determined not to make eye contact with anybody, talking or not. I just ran, looking at the track one stride at a time. I'm happy to report that I did not get lapped. I began my fourth lap around the track, and as I finished the curve of the track, I heard the other runners finishing. So thankful. Now I was on the track alone. I was just doing my thing. Surely nobody was paying any attention, but this still was my last race in middle school, so I picked up the pace a little bit on that back stretch, thinking maybe I'd get another personal best time. And finally, I reached that home stretch thinking, maybe I'll just sneak in there and nobody will see me. This is just me running against myself on the track. And I kicked it in, and all of a sudden I heard over the loudspeaker, ladies and gentlemen, let's give her a round of applause because anybody who finishes this race is a winner. If only the ground could have opened up and swallowed me whole in that moment. I did get a personal best. My teammates had lots to share with me afterward about the conversation in the stands, and I was absolutely unwilling to speak to my coach for the rest of the day. The author of Hebrews says, let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Now at a track meet, runners are racing against each other. They're in competition. But when we read what the author of Hebrews is calling for, we see that we are called for something different. Rather than simply telling us to run, the author says, let us run. The call is to run together, to live the life of faith together. Living out our faith is not about personal bests or who can be most faithful. Rather, the life of faith is to be lived in community. The Greek word that is commonly translated race can also be translated as gathering, which leads to a powerful image of people of faith gathering together. The faithful are called together for strength and encouragement and to hold one another accountable. This is what we do as a congregation, isn't it? On our best days, we gather together because of our faith in God. We gather for worship and for study. We gather for forgiveness and for gratitude. We gather for comfort and strength. And we gather so that we can use our gifts to serve others. And when we gather, it is a blessing for us. It's a blessing for others. And it's a beautiful offering to God. Coming together as a congregation builds us up. And there are a lot of congregations, right? Now, this is sort of a good news, bad news situation. That there are so many congregations is, of course, evidence of division. Different congregations, different denominations, all the result of disagreements through the generations or decades. These divisions exist because we believe that we are, at least, more right than the others. And these divisions are sad, really. Evidence, once again, that maybe sometimes we're too comfortable with creating divisions between us in this life. Of course, there is good news. In spite of these divisions, there are so many congregations. There are so many who want to run this race. And Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, will lead us all despite the divisions. Jesus is the only one who has lived the life of faith in perfection. In all of the biblical witness, in all those who are the great cloud of witnesses, there is no other one who was perfect or who is perfect. And Jesus doesn't even expect us to live this life perfectly. Rather, as the writer of Hebrews says, we are invited to look to Jesus, who will guide us together to live our faith in a way that pleases God and that serves the purpose of our risen Lord. Friends, life is hard. It always has been. Living our faith is hard. It always has been. But the good news for both of these statements is we are not alone. God is with us, and so are the faithful. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. So let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Amen.